Would you turn to the book of Genesis chapter 1, please? Genesis chapter 1. You know, we were talking about end time witnesses, and we are getting ready to start a series of what's happening now and so forth, but we're laying a foundation first. One of the things about end time witnesses is things that separate us from the world. And in Genesis chapter 1, if you'll go there, please, in verse 26, Genesis 1, 26. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together, please. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image and according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle, over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish, over the of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Here we see God created man to exist in two realms, or what we call two dimensions. There were eternal beings existing in a temporary realm. Is everybody with me? So they were actually eternal beings living and were existing in a temporary realm. Even though God created these eternal beings, they were eternal. Adam and Eve were eternal. They were not supposed to die. They were eternal, but God doesn't interfere with man's will. He gives them a free choice. People choose. God has a set destiny for every individual, but he doesn't force them to do it. You must cooperate with him to fulfill it. So you can choose to live ungodly life, or you can choose to live a life that's pleasing to God. Everyone has that choice, regardless of what. There is no excuse. None of us has an excuse. God always makes a way of escape, and whether we accept that escape, he always makes a way of rescue, because there'll either be a rescue or there'll be punishment, one or the other. Amen? In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, and it says, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being," or an eternal being. And verse 8, and it says, "The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant in the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Okay, so we see here something very powerful, because provision was provided for the eternal man. Provision was provided for the eternal woman. And this provision that was provided to them was eternal food, so that they could abstain or sustain the eternal presence, that eternal arena that they lived in this realm. Without eating that tree of the tree of life, they could not sustain it. Is everybody with me? So the purpose of this tree of life was to maintain an eternal status in a temporary realm. To maintain a what? Eternal status in a temporary realm. And I want you to know that it's not changed. It's not changed at all. They both ate. Of course, we know what happened. They disobeyed God. God warned them over and over about what tree not to eat. And that tree was the tree of death. It was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But it was actually the tree of death. He said, if you eat of this tree, you're going to die. So they both ate of the forbidden substance, the tree of death, and lost their eternal status. They lost their position. They lost their authority. They lost their dominion. And they eventually died. Does everybody got that? Why? Because they disobeyed God and they ate contaminated food that killed them. It was a temporary food. Does everybody got it? It was a temporary food. So when you eat something that is temporary, you become temporary. There's a difference between temporary and eternal. In Genesis chapter 3, so the Lord had to bring judgment because of what they did. There were consequences of the disobedience of the Creator. And in Genesis chapter 3, he tells them, he first brings judgment to the serpent in verse 14. He says, so the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are what? Cursed. You are cursed. More than all cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will what? Put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now, he is telling the serpent that he is going to send someone to reinstate an eternal status to mankind. And in verse 16, he said to the woman, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. For some of you guys are still waiting for this prophecy to be fulfilled. Aren't you glad we're not religious? In verse 17, and to Adam he says, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the land or in the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you are taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of the living. This was not the eternal living. This was the living in a temporary realm now. She would be the mother of the temporary living. Also, for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. So the Lord reinstated them in the area that they may exist in this realm, but they would die, and he covered them with blood. He took life for life, in which we know was going to future, would be future, what Christ would come bring life for life. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put out his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed a cherubim at the east of the garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life, which was pretty amazing. So we see that there are consequences to the disobedience to the Creator. Judgment to the serpent, to Adam and Eve. No longer able to live or exist in two realms or two dimensions. But they were imprisoned in the temporary realm. But again, he said that he would eventually send one who would reinstate that eternal status so that mankind could live in both realms. That mankind, again, can live in both realms. Not only in the seen realm, but the unseen realm. In Isaiah chapter 9. And we see that what the Lord had spoken to the serpent was about to be manifested. It was going to be prophesied. In Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Would you speak it with me, please? Hallelujah. Isaiah 9 verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there'll be what? No end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So we see here that it was prophesied that the one that he spoke to, when the Lord spoke to the serpent and said, one would come and you will bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise your head. Amen. It was prophesied so that one was going to come. He was to come to reinstate an eternal status, which is the unseen realm. And it is called truth. See, there's an unseen truth. And this unseen truth is what separates believers from unbelievers. It is unseen. And this is where the area where you hear God. where there's dreams and visions, where there's open realms. This is walking in the Spirit. We'll talk more about that. So we see this unseen truth that exists, and this unseen truth exists. I said it exists. Its source is the fourth dimension. It's from the fourth dimension. In 1 John chapter 1, in the Gospel of John chapter 1, John 1:14. Is everybody okay? Oh, hallelujah. In verse 14, let's speak it together. And the Word became flesh. In other words, the truth became flesh. And dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace, which is God's plan. It's not some mystical thing. And what? Truth. In other words, unseen truth. So Jesus put on flesh. He came into this realm, and He brought His plan of escape to those who are willing to cooperate, which is called grace. And He brought the unseen truth from the fourth dimension into this realm. Is everybody all right? So He came full of grace and full of truth. The plan of God was the grace, and the truth was to reinstate your existence of an eternal existence in a temporary realm. So He came to reinstate that which was lost in the garden to be manifested now. You know, when people speak of truth, there is a past truth, there is a present truth, and there is a future truth. But there also is a eternal truth, a truth that is forever and ever and ever. So we speak of these dimensions of past, present, future, and eternal. It's also a representation of the tabernacle of God. The tabernacle of God. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. That is the tabernacle of God Almighty. Those are the three chambers. Those are the three dimensions. But when you go through the last chamber, the third dimension, you hit another place called eternity, which is the fourth dimension. Is everybody okay? So we see here that there is this past truth, present truth, and future truth. And so many times we only acknowledge truth as tangible or by just sight. Amen? By tangible or by just sight. But there is a truth that is unseen. It is unseen. And it holds everything together. The unseen truth is what holds everything. It's what created me and you. It is everything. And as a believer, that's what separates us from a non-believer. Because we live by the unseen truth, not by the seen. Oh, glory. This truth is not debated or compromised. It is what it is. It is to be declared. And nothing can change it. You can't reason with it. It is what it is, and it always has been. This truth is called the I am. Your will, your desire, your feelings, and your thoughts cannot compare to the unseen truth. In fact, what He wants to do is reinstate us so that we are eternal beings in a temporary realm declaring the unseen truth, because it should live in us and we should obey it. John chapter 3. As I was seeking the Lord today, and I was like, you know, what do you want to talk about tonight, Pop? Because He's my dad. And I didn't hear anything, and then certain things began to come that I couldn't understand. And certain things began to, like, open up to see. And then when I remember, one of the scriptures talked about when Paul was taken to the third dimension or the third heaven, and there were words that were spoken that he could not comprehend. And then the next thing I saw was myself stepping out of this realm into another realm. And it was like almost, I don't know if you ever, almost like going through a balloon. And he said, this is the realm of the truth that is unseen. And he began to share with me that so many times we don't realize, as eternal beings and reinstated as an eternal status, that you and I have another place that we can go to anytime. He said, my people get so struggled and so caught up in everything that they forget. That's all they need to do is step out of it. and right into the truth of the unseen realm, because that's where truth is. See, there must be a place of reality for me and you that what is not seen is more real to me and you than what is seen. And you'll be able to step out of every circumstance. Why do people get offended? Why do people fall into fear? Why? Because they're still caught up in this realm. And that's all the enemy wants to do, is imprison you in this realm. If he can imprison you in this realm, you can't make what is unseen to become seen. In fact, what he'll do is he'll cause you to sin, so God says, access denied. But we want access granted. So that's why he says we must give up our life to have a life that belongs to the unseen realm, because that's where you originally came from. But the enemy wants you to be caught up in this realm and try to maintain your life. And what does the word say? If anybody wants to keep his life, he must what? Lose it, right? And what good is it to have all the things of the world and still lose your soul? So this is about not only a temporary status of eternity now, but it's a temporary status of eternity forever. This is why we hear doctrines of demons. Is everybody with me? He says many will fall from the faith, taking doctrines of demons, taking heed to the voice of the stranger. You know, just because somebody accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, well, there's got to be a maintaining of that eternal status. And that's truly proven, isn't it? Didn't Adam and Eve lose their eternal status? And they were created. You and I are born. They were created right from God. And they still lost their eternal status and became like mere men, where the life of the flesh was in the blood, no longer in the spirit. Oh, hallelujah. In John chapter 3, in verse 1, let's speak it together. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, unless he is reinstated in an eternal status, he cannot see the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is eternal. It's what's making the unseen to become seen. In other words, you will not see these things because you are not born of the Spirit yet. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? He didn't get it, obviously. And Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. For which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So there is an area, there is an eternal status who is born of the Spirit. Now look at what he says here in verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? He could not comprehend because he was not born again. There's a born again status. It's an eternal status. In fact, it's known as the second chamber of the tabernacle, where you are born again of the Spirit. You are baptized in the Holy Spirit, where the scales come off, where everything is changed around you. There's a difference between salvation. People get saved in the outer court, but the born again experience is truly in the second chamber. It's where the Spirit is. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Freedom. That's why it's called the outer court. It's called outer court. The next chamber is called holy place. Why? Because it is holy by the Holy Spirit. Then he brings us into the next court, which is life. And then from there, eternity. must be born again by accepting the unseen truth. I'm going to say this again. Must be born again by accepting the unseen truth before you can access the eternal realm and maintain the ability to exist in the eternal status by accessing the unseen truth of eternity. I'm going to say that again, unless you can write shorthand. In other words, you must be born again by accepting the unseen truth. This is how it begins. You accept the unseen truth before you can access the eternal realm. And then you maintain the ability to exist in this eternal status that we have gained, right? Are you with me? So you maintain this eternal status in this realm by accessing the unseen truth. This will allow the realm of the seen to become less value compared to the unseen. I'm going to say this again. This will allow the realm of the seen will have less value to you than the realm of the unseen. The realm of the unseen will have more value to you than the realm of the seen. Because you know that it is temporary. You know it. You live it. And you don't want any access to be shut to you to the eternal unseen realm because it's accessed by the unseen truth. Is everybody okay? John 14. John 14. In verse 1, would you speak it with me? What does Jesus say? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, in the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. And how do we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for through me. So Jesus explains that he is the eternal tabernacle of God. There is the three chambers that we go through to access eternity. There are three dimensions in the chamber. There's the outer court, holy place, most holy place, and then the fourth dimension of eternal. Let's go a little further. Verse 7. He said, if you had known me, you would have known my what? My Father. Also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. Philip said to the Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. See, they were not born again. They couldn't see. It was difficult for them to accept the unseen. It was tough, even though it was manifested right in front of them. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you do not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak at my own authority. Are his words truth? Yes, because he came speaking the unseen truth, didn't he? But the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Again, if you look at the way, the truth, in the life, in the tabernacle, what connects the way and the life is the truth. But when you see truth in the Bible, I want you to grab hold of something. When you see that word truth, it means unseen. See, so many times we relate it to just somebody telling the truth. It's beyond that. For me and you, it's not about somebody telling the truth. It's carrying the unseen truth, what separates me and you. You know, when you think about the tabernacle and the way, the truth, and the life, you know, we had a way of living, didn't we? That was a past. Then we came to the truth, and we live in the truth according to the present right now with us. And then it's bringing us to life, isn't it? Amen? Which is future. So right now, our present, your present will become past. Your future will become present. And your eternal is constant. It is. So no matter what's going on in right now in our lives, even though our future, our present will become past and our future will become present, but there is an eternal unseen truth that we carry that it oversees everything. It supersedes everything that's going on in our life. If we know it, if we carry it, if we fellowship it and if we live it, it supersedes everything. This is what separates us from the world. Hallelujah. This is what separates true believers from not true believers, those who proclaim to believe. This is what separates believers' existence from man's existence. A believer speaks of unseen truth. A non-believer speaks of seen truth. That's what he knows. Everything's relied on what they see, what they feel, what they think, circumstances in their life. But I tell you, you can walk out of every single one of them and walk in a realm of an eternal status where unseen truth is released. In 1 Peter chapter 1. That's why God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know what? There are many people who don't even get it. They don't know it. They don't understand it. They're so caught up in me, myself, and I, which they are imprisoned in this temporary realm. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 22. Is everybody okay? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Let's read it together. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. What truth is this? Is it temporary or eternal? Is it seen or unseen? Amen. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the children, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been what? Born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of a man is as a flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which, by the gospel, was preached to you. Again, you are that born again, given an existence in the unseen realm with unseen truth of eternity. See, so it is truly our responsibility to make what is unseen to become seen. So we live according to the unseen, not the seen. We don't live according to the lusts of the world. We don't live according to religious statuses. We live according to the unseen truth which pleases God and not man. This unseen truth supersedes every other truth, past, present, and future, because it is eternal. It is fourth dimensional truth that supersedes every other dimension that there is. John 14. When Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, people just think because they know the Bible that they're free. Well, I hate to tell you this, but there's a lot of people I know who know the Bible, and they are not free at all. And they can even quote you the page numbers. They can quote the Bible, and they're still in prison. But there's a place where there is freedom. See, to know the truth won't free you. You must practice the truth to free you. John chapter 14, is that what I said? Praise God, I better go there. Oh. Verse 15, would you speak it with me, please? 14, 15. If you love me and keep my commandments. See, so many times people think that the commandments are the Ten Commandments. Commandments is anything that God tells you to do. It is a command. It's not the Ten Commandments. That's carnal thinking. Is everybody okay? It's carnal thing. Is God still commanding things today? Yeah, nothing's changed. He's still sending commands out. If you love me and keep my commandments, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. Boy, do we need another helper. That he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of what? The Spirit of what? And what truth is this? Unseen truth. Who is carried by the Spirit of God. Whom the world cannot what? Come on, read this with me. 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot see, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will what? I will come to you. So we see here that Spirit of truth, the unseen truth, coming from that eternal realm. He is the carrier. He's the one who convicts. Everybody got it? He's the one who chastens. He's the one who guides us to all truth. He tells us things to come. He's the one who brings revelation. He's the one that says, you know, you shouldn't do that. He's the one that we quench when we fall into sin. It's like slapping him in the face. What we say, I don't want eternal truth. I don't want the unseen truth. I'll accept my own and live in the temporary. When we quench him, when we grieve him. And the reason why people do that is because of their lack of true relationship. True relationship. In Psalm 25, doesn't mean you won't make a mistake, but if you're practicing ungodliness, where's the relationship? Where's the truth? Where's any truth? Psalm 25. My people are destroyed for lack of truth. That means unseen truth. In verse 1, would you speak it with me? Psalm 25 and verse 1. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Now, what enemies are these? Unseen. See, so many people are looking for people. These are unseen enemies. You know, it's not mankind that does the works. I mean, mankind does the works, but the unseen realm is what influences them to do them. So if the enemy can convince you to do things that displease God, access will be denied. And he knows that. Verse 3, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Somebody who waits on the Lord means they seek him. What are they looking for? They want truth of the unseen. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without a cause. What does he say? Come on, verse 4, read it with me. Show me your ways, O Lord. Lead me in your path. Lead me in your truth and teach me. Wow, what a request. Lead me in your truth. In other words, the unseen truth. And teach me. Teach me the unseen truth. Teach me your ways. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I will wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth nor the transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he what? Teaches sinners in the way. What? When they repent, right? The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and what? Truth. What truth is this? Unseen, eternal truth. To such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is a man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. Verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Awesome. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Unseen truth. In verse 14. Would you speak it with me? But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are what? Spiritually discerned. So the natural man is one who is not born of the Spirit. So when somebody's not born again of the Spirit, they can read the Bible, but it's another book to them. It becomes knowledge, but not truth. Does everybody got it? It becomes knowledge, but not truth, because they're not practicing the truth. It's just knowledge to them. I've heard people tell me, yeah, I've read the Bible 3 times in a row, over and over, and they're still heathens. And they never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I don't know what Bible they're reading, but anyway, they must be reading it upside down or something. Maybe backwards. Again, the natural man lives by what he sees, lives by his feelings, lives by his taste, lives by what he hears. He is imprisoned by fear, lust, and pride. He cannot fulfill his vows because he's unpredictable. He lives in a state of survival and has no understanding of the unseen enemy of influence. The natural man is imprisoned in the area also of sorrow and oppression, not able to break free. So the natural man will not be able to receive the things of the unseen truth. Now, I want you to understand something. You can accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and still be carnal. That's called natural. Even Paul himself wrote letters to the church. He said, well, you're still acting like mere men. But I accepted Jesus a long time ago. Why aren't I free? Because you're not cooperating. This is not a drive-through. This is cooperation. There's a process of getting free. Freedom is learned. In Psalm 43, again, when we see truth, it means unseen truth. Psalm 43, first four verses, says, vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off, and why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Oh, send out your light and your what? Send out your what? Light and your truth, because eternal truth is light. It is light. That unseen truth is actually light. And that light is life. It is life. Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me, and let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God and to God my exceeding joy. And on a harp I will praise you, O God, my God. See, when there is that arena where that eternal status has been initiated, there's a desire for his presence. That's what you live for. Because you realize that is your home and that's where you came from. That is that eternal status now. Because that is your life. That is the place you run to now when things are happening. That is the place you hide in the secret place. That is the place you go get counsel from. That is the place where you surrender. That is the place of provision. That is the place of joy. That is the place of peace. That is the place of healing. That is the place where we're to live. So you can walk out of this realm at any moment, at any time, just by acknowledging the unseen truth in the eternal present. Walk right in. Boom. As long as you're clean. That's why it's important to repent and ask God for forgiveness of anything you might have done that you don't even realize. Why? So you can get washed by the blood. The Bible says, depart from evil. The fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. And that fear is known as reverence, honor, and respect. He says, send your light and your truth. Let me see the unseen, is what he was talking about. Let me see the unseen truth. Show me. Teach me the ways that is unseen to man. In Proverbs 23, unseen truth. So let me ask you this. If you live by the unseen truth, will you have victory in your life? Amen. Because you won't be fighting for your life. You've already surrendered it. In Proverbs 23, in verse 23, would you read it with me? It says what? Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Okay, buy the truth. How do you buy the truth? By giving your life for it. That's how you buy it. That's why Jesus gave us the formula. Deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow. Deny yourself means you've given him your life. So the way you buy truth is by denying yourself and giving your life. You come into a humble state. You acknowledge, Lord, I am nothing without you. I have tried and failed. My own strengths have caused me to stumble. Make known the unseen truth to me that I may follow, obey, and trust. In Romans chapter 1, so you gave your life to Christ Jesus. That's buying. You constantly give your life. So you can receive the unseen truth. Does God want to hold any of this back from you? No. Again, this is what separates us from carnality, from the natural man. This is what separates us. That we know, carry, and declare the unseen truth. It's not just truth. It is unseen truth because it is eternal. We speak another language. It is different. We don't glory in what we've done. We don't glory in our past. We don't glory in our successes. We don't glory in our failures. We glory in the Lord. That's a difference. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, let's speak it together. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness an unrighteousness of men who suppress the what? Truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were what? Darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. So we see that this truth was suppressed. Man, in other words, the unseen realm was influencing man to suppress the truth. That unseen realm of darkness, the enemy that fights you from the unseen realm, was trying to convince us, or those who've carried the truth, not to obey it or express it or declare it. And he said God's wrath will come on those individuals. And Galatians chapter 3. You know, I watch the news to see what's going on, and it's amazing to me. They're having a debate over abortion. And they're trying to, you know, what are the judges going to say? Or what are the Supreme Court judges? How can they be involved in this? And they're talking about, well, what about women's rights? And what about the Constitution? And what about our freedoms? And what about, and no one has said, what about God? How about what God thinks? Not one have I seen anyone step up. That's all they're talking about is individual rights. They have talked about everything that is seen and nothing that is unseen. Nothing. Not one thing have I seen that they've talked about unseen. Even those who've been claiming to be believers on the news. Well, what about what God thinks about abortion? What about what God thinks about same-sex marriage? What about what God thinks about fornication? I mean, because they're arguing now over the rights that it's unconstitutional that two of the same sex who've been living together can't have the same rights as a marriage, because it's not marriage. God has constituted what marriage is. That's in the Constitution. What is marriage? It's not Joe and Henry or Lucy and Mary. It's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Amen? Hallelujah. In Galatians chapter 3, but again, they're talking about everything that is seen and talking about what man thinks instead of what God thinks, because they do not know unseen truth. They are blinded of it. In verse 1, would you read it? All foolish Galatians, who has what? Bewitched you, bewitched you, bewitched you. In other words, influence of demonic forces that is unseen. Bewitched. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? What truth is this? Unseen truth. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? And that's what the enemy does. He bewitches us to try to convince us to do the things of the flesh and make the unseen truth null and void to me and you. And then what happens is access is denied. People, you know, people grumble and complain, and they're wondering why things aren't happening. Well, I pray. Well, do you obey? One day the Lord said to me, yeah, they pray, but they don't obey, so I don't answer. Ephesians chapter 2. See, again, unseen truth, eternal truth, is not compromised. It's not debated. You just can't. It is because it is. And either we're going to submit to it and resist the devil, or that we will not submit to it and you can't resist the devil. He will eventually take you out and access will be denied. But I've been saved many years. And you're still doing the same thing? Remember, we must maintain salvation. We maintain it by eating of truth. The same thing that Adam and Eve lost eternity is the same way you and I will. But then the Lord reinstated them, amen? In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, remember who you serve when you die is where you go. Let's speak it together. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of what? The prince of power of what? Okay, I want everybody to put your hand up. I want you to do this. Do you feel something? Okay, stop. Do you see it? Oh. Do it again. Put your hand up. Do you feel something? We have a numb one in here. So you feel something, right? Is it real? Okay, stop. Do you see it? Oh. So because you don't see it, does it make it not real? Amen. Never lose sight of that. So the prince of power of air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were idiots, dead in trespasses, made us alive together by Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved. Grace is what? God's plan. And raised us together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we see here the prince of power of error. The demonic realm does exist. And there's an unseen truth that exists. And just because you don't see it doesn't mean it isn't there. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 13. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. 14. Stand, therefore, having what? Gird your waist with the what? Truth. Was that something you read somewhere, or is that eternal truth? Unseen truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness and so forth. That is the armor of God. But the first thing it tells you to do is to gird your waist with the eternal truth. Unseen truth. So that means we must know the unseen truth. We must practice it and obey it. 1 John chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. Are you learning something? 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. Unseen truth. Released from the fourth dimension, supersedes every truth in every dimension. This is a message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So there's no gray areas in God, is there? No compromise, no what ifs, maybes, could be's. Verse 6. If we say that we have what? Fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the eternal unseen truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Wow. Well, I didn't do it. I didn't sin. I just drank Friday night, fornicated Saturday night, and shot and killed someone Sunday. I repented Monday, but I'll repeat it next week. And then I'll repent every Monday. There is no fellowship. And there is no forgiveness. Because the person has not turned. See, forgiveness is established when we turn from it. Not when we say, okay, forgive me, but I'm going to continue it. Verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not on us. In other words, eternal truth. 1 John 4. You know, the word tells us that the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. The flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. Would you read it with me? Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. I'm telling you, there are a lot of false prophets out in the world. There are a lot of false preachers. There's a lot of false teachers. And what impresses them is the Antichrist, and they don't even know it. But this you know, the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children. They have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Verse 5. Everybody read it with me. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Wow. So there's that spirit of the unseen truth of eternity, or the spirit of the world, which is called error. In Joel chapter 2, a couple more verses. You can go home and eat popcorn. But at least you'll know the truth. Joel chapter 2. Not Joe, Joel. In verse 28, again, we speak another language now because we see the unseen. The carnal man cannot. Joel 2:28, let's read it together. And it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, because they will speak what they see, because what they're going to be speaking, what they're seeing, is unseen truth, which is coming forth. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. By the Spirit. Why? Because God is opening the unseen truth to man. Your young men shall see visions. I'm glad I still see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Has everybody got this? Because God is speaking to us. In Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 2. Yes. See, it's biblical for the husband to bring coffee to his wife because it's in the Bible. It says Hebrews. Then you might fulfill that other prayer. That other part of prophecy you've been waiting for. Hallelujah. And Hebrews 10:15. Let's speak it together, please. Where is it? Okay. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he has said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having what? Boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from any evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good words, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more you see the day approaching. And I'm going to close at Psalm 96. Psalm 96. And if you missed any notes, you can always see Frank. Psalm 96, verse 10. Let's speak it together, please. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming, for he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. That is unseen truth. Amen. Being released from the fourth dimension, this truth supersedes all truth. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask that the seed be protected and guided and grow and bear fruit for your glory. I want to thank all the listeners and all those who are watching today. And if you need any more information or any other resources, you can visit our website. It's called eternallibrary.org. Now may the Lord bless you, keep you, seal the seed, seal you protect you, and give you a thirst and hunger to fulfill his will, knowing that we will stand before him and give account of anything that's not under the blood, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.